remember how the meeting closed last evening? It closed with a very solemn warning. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. We have an example of that in the 12th of Luke. Shall we turn to that chapter? Verse 13, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? This is the very solemn account of a rich man who is called a fool. Now you don't have to be a farmer to do what this man did. You young people can do this as you take up a career, as you go to school and advance. That's what this man was doing. He was advancing. He was progressive, and he was seeking to better himself and to provide for himself suitable surroundings. That was his view, his philosophy of life, what he wished to do to make himself comfortable, to ensure his future, so that he would have a time of ease. A time to eat, and a time to drink, a time to be merry. This whole world, as never before, is bent on that course. So you can not only build with barns, seek to get something bigger and better, as this man did, for he was a farmer, but you can have that same motive, that same desire that he had, and make the same mistake without owning a farm, without even looking at a barn. Oh, he should have been appreciative of what had happened in his case, but he put material things beyond the value of his priceless soul. Are you doing that? Oh, it's quite possible that you are doing that very thing as you are here tonight. And as you pursue that course that you have outlined as your goal here in this life. But this man made an awful mistake. And you know, it's possible that you might want to advance in this world and even be engaged in the multiplication of sins. There was a man that told me that he expected to do certain sins before he had realized what he wished to accomplish. But God's grace came in. But this man here was taken away with a stroke. Suddenly, and without remedy. This happened a long time ago. Oh, it reads that it's a parable, but it's been repeated over and over again and again and again in the lives of many. You can make this mistake of neglecting God's great salvation. He has fully provided for your blessing. He has sent His Son as the Savior of the world. And you know the record. You're acquainted with that fact of the Lord Jesus coming into this world. And He's speaking here, giving this statement. You know, the government believes in vital statistics. Here we have some vital statements. And all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. In it we find some statements that are not inspired, but the writer was inspired to record those statements. Statements by the devil, and by wicked men, but the Holy One, whoever He was of old that wrote, was moved by the Spirit of God to make the record. And the Bible is unlike any other book. No book can be compared with it. When you take up those sacred books of the East, it's a contrast. It's a contrast to the Veda. And to the Koran, oh, those books do not spell out hope as this one. There's gloom and despair mixed with what man has written in those sacred books of the East. But we have a revelation from God. He has spoken. And He's warning you tonight to not make this mistake that was made by this man. He was an able man. He was capable. He was energetic. But he failed because he did not regard the value, the preciousness of the soul that God had given him. And his emphasis was upon the material things of this life. Perhaps you want a car, you want another car, you can be so engaged with cars that you would neglect this salvation. Oh, there are many things, there's so many things now that displace the Word of God, that occupy so fully that we are not careful to consider the welfare of our soul. Oh, is there a boy here tonight or a girl in that position? It could well be. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. He went into eternity without Christ. It's an awful thing to go away from this world without Christ. Now, let us turn to Luke 23. And here we have a poor man, a poor thief. Verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" Here's one that turned to the Lord. Oh, it was late. But he'd heard those gracious words that came from the lips of the Lord Jesus as he was hanging on that cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." At first, he was against Jesus as fully and as completely as the other, and as everyone on that occasion. But he heard the words of the Lord Jesus, that plea of forgiveness. And that's the message that's in the gospel tonight, that you can have for yourself and fully enjoy the forgiveness of sins. Verse 42, he said unto Jesus. Isn't it very interesting to note that a conversation was taking place under these circumstances? There they were, crucified. The Lord Jesus being numbered with the transgressors, that holy man of God, down here in this world, his life of love and grace and ministry of goodness closed or climaxed there at the cross. Of course it was necessary. As we read in the 22nd chapter, verse 37, "For I say unto you that this that is written must be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end." So we stand tonight afresh, looking back to that cross, with our blessed Savior numbered with the transgressors, lifted up in shame, derision, ridicule and hatred at the hands of man, his creatures. "Lord, remember me." Very simple, isn't it? He calls Jesus Lord. He doesn't repeat. That indicates lip service, profession. And if there's a boy or girl here tonight that will truly say Lord to Jesus, confessing your sins before God, he'll come into that heart of yours. You'll become the possessor of everlasting life. Your soul will be secure forever, blessed with the fullness of the gospel. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Well, that kingdom has not yet come in power. So the Lord answers him in a better way. and says to him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And the Lord Jesus had already died. Yes. Pilate was astonished because he was dead already at the end of 6 hours. He'd finished the work that he'd come to do. His death was unlike the death of those others on the crosses. Oh, he'd finished the work. And they came along, and the soldiers did, and they break the legs of this thief and of the other thief. And sent them into eternity. Oh, it's sad to think of what happened to the one that still stood determinedly against the Lord Jesus. But oh, those gracious words had touched the heart of this one. He had that promise. Going to be with the Lord Jesus that very day. And you know, no soul has ever taken flight to heaven and come to a roadblock with a detour sign and advice that you'll have to go around in a rather circuitous way and stop at a wayside station and clean up a little better, and if those back on earth pray hard enough, you'll eventually get into the presence of the Lord. You don't find that in the Scripture. You find such words as these, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, the precious blood of Christ cleanseth from every sin. To say it in the words of 1 John 1:9, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, we can thank God that the soul can be ready to go with the Lord Jesus just as soon as that soul believes in him. Lord, remember me. And he was remembered. And he had the assurance of being with Jesus, with that lovely one, with the Savior of sinners, with that one who was willing to die that he might be set free. And it was his privilege to go along that very day into the paradise of God. But better than all, with Jesus. Now let's notice a man that was very zealous. We had before us a rich man that was foolish, very unwise. He lost out because he was thinking about earthly things. He was thinking about self-betterment. He was occupied with what he had, of what he was doing. I will pull down my barns and build bigger, greater barns. He was doing this. But he never realized his goal. He never came into the security that he wished to establish for himself. He was taken away. In one stroke, in one night, he left this world and appeared in the presence of God. And he was without the Savior. He had not responded. But this poor thief responded to the Lord Jesus. He believed in the Lord Jesus. He owned Jesus as Lord. Lord, remember me. So he got to go with Jesus that very day. But now we have the case of a man, Acts 22, you're familiar with this one, you're indebted to this individual. Verse 3, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God. Now here we find one, zealous toward God. You know, that can be true of you. You can be zealous, sincere. You can have religion and not have Christ. You can have a Bible in your hand and not have Christ in your heart. And that's the danger of you young people. You readily see that this rich man made a fatal mistake in not considering the things of eternal value. You agree that this thief was suffering because of his sins, for he was a criminal. He was paying the price that was demanded by the government. Yes, you readily recognize that he was a sinner. But here's a man that is zealous toward God. And he was very busy advancing certain things that he believed in. Oh, he was promoting the Jewish religion. And he had a sense of responsibility. He thought he was doing God's service. He was very energetic in this. And you can be ever so faithful. He associated with the Lord's people. Come very close. But still, not have that blessed one indwelling your heart. Oh, you need the Lord Jesus right inside. You need to know that your sins are forgiven, that he's answered for them, that they've all been washed away, and that you're a child of God forever. That you've been delivered from going down to the pit. That you've been saved for eternal glory with Christ. You can know that. This man knows that. How? From this book. From the precious page of God's Word. He lets us know how we can have our sins forgiven, how we can escape the judgment that is due us. You know, this man came to the Lord and he said, there's trouble, in so many words. Speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. What's the Lord's answer? Shouldn't he undertake to solve that difficulty? Shouldn't he come in as a mediator between those two brothers? Evidently, one of them had grabbed the lion's share of an inheritance. The Lord does not. He cannot. He'd come in grace. He'd come to save men's souls. He didn't come to straighten this world out in the final score. Oh, he came as the Messiah to the nation of Israel. But there was a deeper purpose too. The things concerning me have an end. He was numbered with those transgressors on that cross. And there died for the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. God has intervened in grace. And the next thing, the only thing that God can do now is to act in judgment. That'll be the next act. He sent his Son. And he's given that one all authority, and he's committed all judgment unto him, because he is the Son of Man. And the next intervention of God in this world in a direct way will be his judgment upon this guilty sin. Are you prepared for that? Could it be that you'll be left behind? Death closed the door for this rich man. There are two ways that the door may be closed against you. It could be by death, a sudden stroke, or removal in some way. But you know, there's that other way that the door will be closed. The Lord is coming. He has promised, I will come again. And he said, behold, I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. It cannot be law. And that event could very well close the door against someone here tonight. And you would be left outside. Why not take care of this matter tonight? Why not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? Acts 16:31. Why not behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, as we had in John's Gospel? And as we still have in John's Gospel tonight. We can be thankful for it. You were anxious. You searched down the hallway. You younger ones, and it was a pleasure to note it. You were anxious to get food for your body and take first place at the tables. Why not be somewhat concerned about your soul's need? Will you delay? Can you afford to put this off? Do you dare run the risk? There are two ways that the door may be closed against you. Death could come. We hope it does. And the Lord may come, he will come, and we'd certainly say, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But he's waiting for you. Yes, he's waiting for you. He's gently calling. He wants you to come. Come, 'tis Jesus gently calling. Come, the Father's house stands open with its love and light and song. Come, for the night is gathering quickly o'er the world's fast fleeting day. If you linger in the darkness, you will surely miss your way. Come is the word. The invitation, the welcome that you're hearing tonight. Come unto me, the Lord Jesus says. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, this man was very zealous toward God. And he can speak quite well of himself as he reviews his history as a man. In the Epistle to the Philippians. But he was exceedingly mad against God's people. There was a hatred in his heart toward Christ. He thought that he ought to do many things contrary to Jesus of Nazareth. That was the heart of Saul of Tarsus. What happened? Oh, he had letters in his pocket from the chief priests. He was vested with due authority. And he was on the road to Damascus, and at the same time on the road to hell. God arrested that man by his matchless grace. The Lord spoke from heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He was against the Lord Jesus. But you know, there had been something going on in his soul. And something has been going on in your soul. If you're in the least concerned tonight about this word that we have before us, about the Savior that is being presented, you need the Savior. Why not come to him? He said, Lord, who art thou? He owned Jesus as Lord. And next he inquired as to what he should do. He believed. Yes, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, he said. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures and he was seen. That's the gospel that he preached later on. And he was very serious when he recorded, when he wrote that statement. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. He's the chief of sinners because he was against Jesus. He didn't believe in Jesus as the Son of God. But right away he did. And just as soon as his hard heart had been melted, he preached that Jesus was the Son of God. Oh, it was all changed. Chief of sinners. A religious man. Now, who's the worst sinner? Oh, we might want to say that thief, you know, that was being crucified because he had broken the laws of society and it was proper that he should pay the penalty that was due him. But a religious sinner is the worst of all. Paul says, I'm chief. And it's terrible to be so close to these precious things of God and yet not have them within your heart. Well, he knew the Old Testament. Yes, he'd been schooled in that. He didn't learn all those scriptures after he got converted. He was familiar with them already, as you are. Not only are you familiar with the Old Testament scriptures, you're familiar with the New Testament scriptures. All the scriptures. You have some sense of understanding concerning God's precious word. Paul was the chief of sinners. Oh, he was upright. He'd been spared from much. But his heart was wrong. And if you haven't believed in Christ the Lord, your heart is wrong too. If you've not acknowledged Jesus as Lord, you're an unbeliever. That's one of your sins. You haven't believed in Jesus. You're what the scriptures refer to as an unbeliever. The fearful and the unbelieving head the list of sinners in Revelation 20. Are you afraid to believe in the Lord Jesus? You know that He's worthy of your confidence. You're afraid to believe in Him because of the enemy's power. Satan is against the gospel. And he would make you afraid. You're fearful. But you ought to trust the Lord Jesus and receive him as your own personal Savior. Now we read about a poor wise man. Ecclesiastes 9. Verse 14. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 14, there was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. It looked hopeless. A little city, no strength. No ability to work out their own deliverance. Few men within it. Isn't this a picture of this world after all? We think it's great and wonderful and powerful. Man boasts about what he can do. But actually he can't do anything except as God permits. A little city. A few men within it. There's a great king that came against it. Oh, he saw something there. And you know, there was found in it a poor wise man. He, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Doesn't this refer to the Lord Jesus? Wasn't he the poor wise man? How poor was he? He came down into this world. There's no room for him in the inn. Although he was a king, the king of the Jews. No room for Jesus in the inn. When the disciples went to their homes, oftentimes he went to the Mount of Olives. And a stone was his pillow. He borrowed another's boat, a disciple's boat, to be used in his ministry. One day he said, "Show me a penny." Yes, he was poor. But think of him. The object of man's hatred, despised and rejected of men, stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. They thought there's something wrong with him. But more than all that, as lifted up on that cross, listen to him. As he says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Can you tell me how poor he was then? Forsaken of God. there on that cross alone in those 3 hours of darkness, atoning for sin, bearing God's judgment that was due the sinner. Jesus did that. Wise man, they had to say, never man spake like this man. No one could speak as he spoke. He could answer the Pharisees. He silenced the Sadducees. And everyone else that came to him, he had an answer. And it was a perfect answer. For he had the wisdom of God. He was the wisdom of God. That blessed one down here in this world. What did he do? He undertook a work of deliverance for us. And we see something of it in the epistle to Timothy, second epistle, chapter 1. God who hath saved us, that's verse 9. Called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. You can't save yourself by your works. Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Christ Jesus is the one that came down into this world. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one that's gone up into the other world. He's up there in heaven for us. Who hath abolished or annulled or set aside death and hath brought life and incorruptibility to light through the gospel. Oh, what a message. What a blessed one. And what a wonderful work he's done. Oh, that work. And he could do it because of who he was. And he offers himself to you tonight as your own Savior, as the one that will bring peace and satisfaction into your heart and life. Why not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? Why not own him, believing in him, in your heart, that he rose from the dead, and confess him as your very own? All that will cause rejoicing in heaven. But oh, there will be some gladness in your heart too. And in the hearts of all who believe. Accept the Lord Jesus. Take him now as your own Savior. He's calling. He wants you now. And remember. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take you away with his stroke. And remember that the Lord is about to come, and the door could be closed against you in that way. But it's open right now. Yes, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Time to enter is now. You can't enter later on. It's either salvation now or never. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Will you do it now?